poetry.
I'm a writer for children and young people.
I'm a novelist, and the extract here is from my fifth novel.
This is World Words from the British Council, a 10-part series about contemporary British literature.
I'm the national poet for Wales. It's the west of the British Isles, near the Irish Sea.
In each programme, we meet a writer and discuss one of their poems or novels.
I spend most of my days writing poems or attempting to write poems.
Here's Karen Brodie with World Words.
The theme in this first edition of World Words is the pleasure of reading and the power of books. We'll meet our first guest writer, Keith Gray. We'll join Keith shortly to hear him read an extract from one of his books. We'll also hear some comments and questions on the text from a group of international students. Have you ever read a really good book and wanted to share it with others? Perhaps you passed it on to a friend. But let me ask you, did you ever think of leaving a book for someone you don't even know, for them to find and enjoy and even pass on again? While you think about that, let's meet today's guest author.
Hello, my name's Keith Gray. I'm a writer for children and young people living in Edinburgh in Scotland. And a lot of my books are about my old friends and the places where I grew up. I very much enjoy writing about young people and what's happening to them in the world today. And I'm going to read a small section from a book of mine called The Chain, which is all about what books can do for us, why I love books in particular, and how I would like to spread the word about just how great books are.
Are you sitting comfortably? It's time to enjoy this extract from The Chain.
Every day while Kate was alone with her dad, before her mum arrived, she would read aloud to him while he lay and listened. He would often have his eyes shut, but he promised he wasn't asleep and could hear every word. Kate began to look forward to being with him now. She enjoyed that hour or so while she read to him. She started to hurry to the hospital from school. Her dad seemed as eager as she was to find out what happened next. He would say he was desperate for the next chapter and ask her to get settled and get reading. Now and again a nurse might rush in to give her father an injection or check the machines, but Kate's dad just told her to keep reading. Maybe he really was enjoying the book as much as he said. Maybe it wasn't only to please her. They were sharing something, weren't they? Just the two of them. She had never felt so close to a father as she did when she was sitting reading to him. After about a week, Kate could see they were getting near to the end of the book. She began to think about which book she would choose next. Could she find one they would both enjoy as much? When she did at last come to the end of the book, she promised her father she'd be back with another one the next day. She had a choice of three or four, but she hadn't picked exactly which one yet. But she never did get to read another book for him, because that was the night he died. After the funeral, her mum told her about what the nurses in the hospital had said. They'd all thought her dad would die sooner. They said they thought he'd hung on for those last few days because he wanted to know how the book was going to end. Kate hoped that it was true. It would have felt much worse if he had died without knowing how the book ended. The nurses also talked about how brave Kate had been when she'd been reading to him, but hadn't felt like being brave at all. She'd wanted to be there with him. "You should keep that book," her mother said, "so you don't forget." But Kate knew she would never forget, and somehow it didn't feel right to keep the book. The next day she went for a walk and took the book in her bag. She walked to the park in the town centre. It was a beautiful sunny day, but the world felt horribly lonely without her dad. She sat in the shade of an old oak tree, thinking about him and the book they'd shared. Kate thought about the book. She knew that books could make you laugh or make you cry. They could be thrilling or romantic or scare you. They could take you all around the world and beyond. They could make you see things from someone else's point of view. They could challenge you. They could help you understand. They could bring you comfort. So much. So very much. Kate thought books should be shared. She took the book out of her bag and put it beside her on the park bench. Then she stood up and walked away. She left the book there. She turned to look at its cover and title one last time as she went. She hoped whoever read it next enjoyed it as much as she had.
You're listening to World Words from the British Council. And that was Keith Gray reading an extract from his story, The Chain. A group of international students from Botswana also read that extract.
It really showed the bond between Kate and her father. I thought it was really touching.
I felt touched by the story because the father was willing to fight on until the last chapter.
The piece of literature formed a bond between Kate and her father.
What happens in this extract? A girl called Kate is reading a book each day to her father. They are very close. We soon realise he is in hospital and his condition is serious. He's dying, but somehow he hangs on long enough to hear the final chapter of her book. Then at the very end, when she finishes the book, Kate takes it to the park and leaves it on a bench.
She took the book out of her bag and put it beside her on the park bench. Then she stood up and walked away. She left the book there. She turned to look at its cover and title one last time as she went. She hoped whoever read it next enjoyed it as much as she had.
I asked Keith why his book is called The Chain.
The book's called The Chain because it's about a chain of people. It's about four different people who all read the same book. So they're all linked together by this one book. And some people read the book. Some people use the book to cheat at a game of cards. Some people use the book to get a girlfriend. And each story in the book, each different person, has their own link in this long chain.
And at what point in the story does this event take place?
This extract comes at the very end of the book that I've written. But the actual book at the end that Kate leaves on the bench, I think it's at the very beginning of the chain of people that will eventually read Kate's book.
So the chain starts as the story finishes. A story that is sad and powerful, but told in a very simple way. How did you feel about it? What did you feel the message was? Let's hear some more reactions from our student readers.
I think when she was reading the book, she started to get like excited and she started getting anxious, like, I can't wait till we start the next book and the next book and the next book, as if this was like her favorite part of the day, because she even said that she started running to the hospital from school as if saying this is the best part of her day. I think that when she looks at the book one last time, she's almost saying goodbye to her father, because the cover and the title, it almost embodies her father and the relationship, how it grew. And now she's saying, thank you for all these memories. I love you.
The story, basically, it's one of losing a parent and that it's okay. So it's something that you'd give a child, and they read it and they get that same feeling that it's okay to lose a parent, the world won't end.
The students also noticed the way that simple language was used in the story.
I noticed throughout the excerpt the writer uses short sentences and it's not very descriptive. So it's kind of like the image that you create in your mind, it's not a clear one.
Simple sentences are used to construct this story. For example, the room in the hospital where Kate's father is lying ill is not described in any detail.
Now and again, a nurse might rush in to give her father an injection or check the machines. But Kate's dad just told her to keep reading.
It is a difficult and emotional scene, but we are left to imagine it for ourselves.
They use such simple language, actually makes the whole piece like feel bare and just out there, you know, has many emotions.
I thought that if I explained too much about how Kate was feeling, if I explained too much about the atmosphere of the room, then I'm almost telling the reader how to read the piece. But if they themselves are given the room to fill in their own emotions and to decide how they would be feeling while they're reading it, I believe that maybe has more impact.
You're listening to World Words, a radio series from the British Council.
I'd like to ask the author, who was his target audience in this story?
I think I'm writing for me when I was younger. I'm writing for that young person who doesn't believe how good books are. So I'm still trying to write for that person I was. I did okay in school, but I didn't read books. I thought books were dull and I thought books were boring. And it was when I was 12 and everybody had given up hope on me and thought I'd never read or never be able to spell or never be able to write anything, that a friend gave me a book and virtually forced me to read it. I read the book to please him and I thought it was fantastic. And it was the first domino. It had a sort of a domino effect in my head. I read that one book and I wanted to read another and I wanted to read another. And now I've read lots and lots of books and I've written quite a few books as well. But it all goes back to that one book a friend gave me when I was 12.
Have you ever found a book on a bench?
I've never found a book on a bench, unfortunately, but I do admit I've left one or two books on benches. Just with that idea of wondering where it will go and who's going to read it next, whose hands will it fall into, and will they enjoy it? So I guess I'm not Kate, but I suppose I have done something similar to Kate in that way.
Keith writes for young people and wants us to share the power of reading. But will new technologies bring about an end to books? The international students discussed the future of books and reading.
I think that in the next decade or two decades, more people will start buying these things, and I think books will be rare because people won't be printing books as much as they used to.
I think books are gonna die out.
There's not enough technology in the world to make books die out. Honestly, there's not enough technology in the world for that.
Yeah, so they'll become rare, but they wouldn't completely disappear, and people would still want to read books. Because I know how to explain it, but there's just something special about books that you can't really replace.
I think it's pretty clear how Keith Gray feels about books.
I love books. I really love books. I think that people who read are often cleverer, more open-minded, funnier and downright nicer than people who don't read books. So it's lovely to be doing this programme now and to be speaking to so many clever, open-minded, funny and nice people out there. So I've got to admit, yes, this is all about encouraging people to read.
And I hope World Words is encouraging you to go out and read books. If you wish to look out for that novel, it's called The Chain, and Keith's surname, Gray, is spelt G-R-A-Y. Well, it's been a great pleasure meeting Keith Gray and hearing from the students who've discussed that story and the importance of reading. Maybe you'll leave a book on a bench. I'll leave you with another chance to hear part of Kate's story. Here's Keith Gray again with The Chain.
Kate thought books should be shared. She took the book out of her bag and put it beside her on the park bench. Then she stood up and walked away. She left the book there. She turned to look at its cover and title one last time as she went. She hoped whoever read it next enjoyed it as much as she had.
That was World Words with Karen Brodie. For a copy of that extract and more information, go to the British Council's website. The address is www.britishcouncil.org/literature.